You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the Binge Music Cast.
I know you say you don't want to leave, but the house just gets so quiet. I lay around and hope the phone might ring. Won't you sing me to sleep tonight? Love's on fire.
Welcome to the Binge Music Cast on bingemedia.net. I am Alex Moreno, and I'm joined by Mr. Chris Prunkle of Wannabe. What's going on, sir?
Did you pause because you're trying to figure out what to call me?
You have so many nicknames now. Because you went from you went from front page Chris, because you were on the front page of the Columbia Tribune, was it?
Yep.
And you got a full page spread, so you're now full page Chris. And I was just unsure of what to call you, what you would want me to call you at this point.
At least I'm not being called full spread Chris.
That's for the cup of Christmas party.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, sir. Well, as if we didn't spend enough time together, we are here to recap, as we just got back yesterday, we're here to recap the Roots and Blues and Barbecue Festival 2017 in Columbia, Missouri. Second year in a row, you and I made the trek down to Columbia, and I didn't think it was possible to top last year, but I think this year topped last year.
I'm actually in complete agreement. I was really, really impressed by the lineup, how well everybody sounded. Last year, I think I was more caught off guard because we didn't really know what to expect.
Sure.
Everybody was great, but I felt like we had more dead time. Where this year, it was just nonstop going back and forth between stages.
We're going to recap each day, and we're going to highlight some of our favorites. We're going to do who won the day, who had the best performance, who had the second best, you know, runner-up, and then our favorite moment of the day. We're going to do for all 4 days that we were there. And I do got to say, like, right off the bat, I was thinking about this, decompressing yesterday, and I think for me personally, there were a lot more surprises last year, but this year, I was just completely blown away by the headliners. Just completely
I'd agree
away.
100% on that. Yeah, I felt like last year I was able to explore a bit more with some new artists, where this year I knew what was there, but still, they were exceeding all expectations.
All right, let's get right down to it. Now, we arrived Thursday, the day before, which is something that I think really helped us out. We got a day to just kind of get the lay of the land, chill, have some drinks, have some dinner with some great company. But Friday opened up, and we made our way down to the venue. And, well, just right off the bat, I completely forgot how many fucking hills there were. I was not ready for that. I forgot my Fitbit too, so I hope I got all my steps
man,
in.
You would have raked that in this weekend. Jeez.
But the first act that we caught was a little band called The Suffers, which me, you, and Scott from Magnet had a tough time pronouncing at first. Because we really want to say The Sufferers, but then it just sounds silly.
Yeah. Yeah, The Suffers, it happens every time where I want to do it. And they were the one act that that I caught that I didn't know that had that surprise factor that we had a lot of last year.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. I've been actually listening to their album on Spotify all morning. And they're playing Concord in December in Chicago.
Wow. That's actually a pretty sizable venue for them, too, for as early as they were.
I think so, too. I mean, they get like 70,000 listens. Or followers on Spotify, something like that. Monthly
so apparently
listeners.
We're the only people who don't know them.
I guess so. But yeah, as far as that surprise factor goes, like, you know, Southern Culture on the Skids, and for me, Reverend Peyton. Like, those are big surprises last year. This was a big surprise for me, too, because I was really, really digging them.
Agreed. Yeah, that was it was really impressive. It's a shame we had to leave a little early for another act that was a big act of the day. I wish we could have stayed to see their whole set.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, they were on at 6 o'clock. We caught a couple of songs, grooved a little bit, and then made our way to the other stage for at 6:30 for Mr. Lee Fields and the Expressions, or Mr. Lee Fields and the Math Club, as we were calling them. <'Cause> all, the Expressions looked like they were in the Math Club. I mean that with they all really love. But, oh, my God. I mean, talk about a performer, a guy who just, like, has command of the stage, knows how to engage the audience. Just a classic pro.
Well, it's seeing a living legend. It was unreal. And you're kind of, as you were talking about it, it was seeing a performance that you just don't see often nowadays, that type of soul, just powerful performance up there. It definitely had a throwback to an era gone by in music.
For sure. For sure. And like I said, he being around for as long as he has been, like, knows how to captivate the audience, knows how to get them engaged, knows how to put on a classic soul show. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more later. Spoiler alert. Now, we
have... Yeah,
go ahead.
One more thing with him that I really appreciate is it's something about having a great frontman. The way he was able to interact with the crowd, even just with his sight lines and mm-hmm. his looks, not just pulling from them. I thought that was really cool. And it's seeing a master.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, that was followed up by – actually, you left because you went to go check out the old 97s.
Yes. Which I had never caught before and always been one of those bands I'd wanted to catch. And again, I mean, just guys that have been doing it for years and up there just killing it. Rhett Miller, who's the lead singer, you can tell is just another – he's a showman. He's up there mm-hmm. just in – the ladies love Rhett Miller. So he knew how to play that up, and everybody was drooling over him. I mean, even just the way he plays his guitar, it was a lot of style going on.
Mm-hmm. A lot of energy, too, from what I caught.
Definitely.
A friend of mine, Rob, is a massive old 97s fan, massive Rhett Miller fan, had one of their songs as his wedding song, actually. I told him, sorry, dude, didn't get a chance to catch their full set, and he's like, you barbarian. He's just yelling at me over text, like, what the hell's the matter with you? And that's only because I wanted to stick around for another living legend, Booker T.
That was incredible.
I can't even put into words how great that set was. Even though we didn't finish it because we had to make our way over for our next artist. But, dude, we saw Green Onions. We saw him play Green Onions live, and he introed it by saying, this is a song I wrote when I was 17. And I was like, what? 17? Holy shit.
Yeah. That's going to be one of those moments that goes down in, like, my all-time great moments is seeing that live. That was just – I mean, it's a work of art, and watching that man play is a work of art.
Absolutely. And just the reverence he gives to his backup band, one of them being his son.
Who's a badass guitar player.
Yeah, he is. And we found out we rode the elevator with him.
Yeah. As he's on stage and introduces his son, he's like, oh, shit, that's the guy who was on the elevator with us.
And then we see them later on that night walking back to the hotel, and they're like, elevator guys! We're like, yep. Great set.
Actually, it was even better than that, what they said. We were the elevator cats.
The elevator cats. How could I forget?
Yeah, I was like, there. You're right. There were a lot of nicknames this weekend.
Yeah. But after Green Onions ended and people are just losing their minds, the guy next to me turns to me and goes, I can die happy now. I just heard that live. I'm like, you and me both,
perfect
buddy.
Way to sum it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about how many times you've heard that song anywhere, let alone how many movies you've seen with that song in it.
Yeah, shit.
I mean, it should be part of, is it fair used? Is it fair use? Green nope. Onions? You could just use it like Happy Birthday? It's part of public domain?
Well, Happy Birthday, you can't. Happy Birthday is still fucking copyrighted. That's
what?
Why they
really?
Never play it in any movies. Yeah.
Oh.
That's why you won't see it in movies or TV shows or anything, because they charge a fucking fortune for it, too.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because that's asshole. A great song.
I hear it every year.
At least once.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we go from Booker T. We're going back and forth between the two stages, which thankfully isn't too far.
Agreed.
Just a little trek, and you get to smell some delicious food in the meantime.
And you get to stock up on beer as you're walking between them.
And we definitely needed that, I feel like. I mean, it really was mother's milk, this trip.
Yeah, with the with that, I will say, as you're talking about going back and forth between stages, one thing I did notice this year is I wish there was even just 10 minutes between sets. I felt like I was missing the end of a lot of sets, which was a bit of a shame. I mean, I didn't mind because I was going from greatness to greatness usually.
True.
But it's like I wish we could have had just those little bit of breaks, which I think later in the weekend we did. Friday was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Because it started a little later.
Yeah, it starts late on Friday. Friday's the only non-full day of the fest.
Yeah, so the first bands went on at 5, and the last band, the last artist, Garrett Clark Jr., went on at 9:15. I mean, in between, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 acts. And the ones that we caught were in pretty close timing as far as when they went on stage. And especially for you, you have that window being in the photo pit.
Yeah,
so really had a hustle.
Yeah, if anybody's not familiar, the way photo pits work at festivals or with concerts is you basically have the first three songs of a set to take pictures, and then you're out. So basically I had to make sure I was there at the beginning of every set, or I was losing out on prime picture taking.
Right.
So it really is a lot of flying back and forth.
And then we get to the man.
Yes.
9:15 at the Missouri Lottery stage, the Mo Lottery stage from Austin, Texas, Mr. Gary Clark Jr.
This
opens with Catfish Blues, and I just about lose my mind.
This is my second time seeing him live, and everybody I talk to, I say his albums don't do him justice. You have to see him live and just be mesmerized by the way he plays. It's just yet again, like I was completely just enamored with everything going on.
And again, another guy who, for being as young as he is and also starting as young as he did, has command of the stage, like knows how to put on a great show.
100%. Yeah. It's, what I noticed with him, and you know, it would be the same thing with Lee Fields, and I think it goes really for all great front men, front women. It's that cool factor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you either have or you don't. And when Gary's up there just strutting around, it's not like he does anything crazy or advanced, or he has such a swagger on that stage. That, you know, my favorite way to put it is he will sonically impregnate you. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, you see that man on stage, you're walking out with a music baby in your belly because he has just fucked you up.
Hey, this is a PG podcast, sir.
Is it really?
No. Of course not. After what
you had me shit myself.
After what we listened to over the weekend, the binge cast that is out now, people can listen to. It's a 4-hour show of just drunken nonsense. It's a lot of nonsense. Check it out. Anyway, and it was just his set list was just I don't know if it's just us being like huge fans of his, but it was almost like hit after, like he was playing the greatest hits.
Yes.
Every single song, he just attacked, and it was fantastic.
And what was great too, I mean, even starting out with Catfish, like everything kept building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you start off with a song that strong, and I mean, it still kept building and building. And every one, there was just new things he was dropping into it, mm-hmm. or opening up to other band members so that they could shine, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. The by the time he gets to Bright Lights, Big City, like the crowd is just floored.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, that was definitely the time where I not only had my mind blown, but I was sonically impregnated, as you eloquently put it.
You know what really got me, because I hadn't seen them play it before, was their version of Come Together.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah.
It was just, I mean, it was pure fucking rock. And mm-hmm. we had talked about it a little bit. It's such an iconic riff,
mm-hmm.
but I still felt, which is hard. How does anyone, you know, make their mark on a Beatles song?
Yeah.
And I truly felt like they had done something to really make it their own while still completely honoring everything that the Beatles put into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, after that, I mean, we basically talked about Gary Clark blowing our faces off on the way back to the hotel. And let's go through it. Who won the day, sir? This is a tough one.
It is.
With those last three that we talked about, that's a tough one.
It was an incredible day, and what a way to kick off a festival.
Uh-huh.
But I was going in expecting a lot based on my first seeing of Gary Clark Jr., and he lived up to every memory I had and I had built up over time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was like, of the whole fest, he was one of the top two I was looking forward to, and he lived up to that. I was just I was musically stoned. I could not look away. Mm-hmm. I was just watching his fingers work. It's indescribable. And I will tell everybody, if you've ever thought, oh, you know what, he'd be cool to see sometime. Yes, he fucking is. Go see him. Cause there's nothing like it right now, at least with that young generation.
Sure.
He really is that guy that's keeping things alive.
Absolutely.
So what about you?
I really wanted us to argue. Hopefully we still can and fight. Lee Fields was just amazing. I mean, the consummate professional, the consummate performer. I've been listening to him and Daptone for a long time. You know, we just lost Charles Bradley recently. And Lee Fields is definitely a spiritual brother to his.
Yeah.
And musically. But his show, I mean, I kind of expected him to put on a show and for me to enjoy it and for me to not stop dancing. And that's what I got. And he was amazing. And then, you know, our access to being that close to the stage also helps a lot too, because you're fully engaged.
And that's something, yeah, it needs to be mentioned. The way Roots and Blues sets it up and the access they give
mm-hmm.
is incredible.
Yeah.
And being able to see those things front row, which never would I be able to afford that in real life, because Roots and Blues is basically like it's some alternative reality.
Sure. Yeah. I love stepping into it every year now.
Yeah. So it's just unreal.
Yeah. And the way they have it set up, so they have, you know, center stage is like the where the videographers are, right? So they have access there. And then on stage left and stage right are the VIP sections. And then it's kind of split off. And then that's general admission. I don't think you get a bad view of the stage anywhere. There's a couple of trees. And for the most part, people are, you know, they're not dicks. It's not like seeing a show in Chicago. You know what I mean?
You know, that's a good point, because I didn't put that together. But yeah, there really isn't, because both the stages have those hills that kind of slope down to them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you really do always have that really solid view going into it.
There were a couple of artists who I knew legendary, but didn't really know a lot of their stuff. And I was planning to post up at the top of the hill to just kind of chill out and take it all in and really watch everybody else who are diehard fans, like, enjoy themselves. I wanted to see that. But I couldn't help myself. I'll talk about those in a little bit. But to finish it off, who won the day for me? It's hands down Gary Clark Jr. I mean, the guy, he tore my face off. I didn't know what to expect as far as – now, you're right. Like, his albums, his songwriting is great, but his energy – like, you have to see him live. And I've seen him on Austin City Limits. I've seen him perform with other artists at, like, you know, benefits and other concerts and whatnot. So you get a sense of, like, how he tears it up on stage. But seeing it live is just – and hearing it live is a different experience entirely. It was just fantastic. Like,
yeah, with what you're saying with the albums, what I've always felt like is – Where Gary Clark Jr. shines is in between the lyrics, when he's allowed to open things up. And I feel like he always cuts that off on the albums, because he wants to keep everything tight and concise and throw it on there. Where when he's on a stage, it's like he can't help himself. And I think that's what will always keep him fresh, seeing him live too, because he's just going off into his own world. So you're never going to get the exact same show twice. He's just – you're going to hear new things. He's going to be, you know, monkeying around, messing with different guys in the band. Like,
yeah.
It's just – it's everything's going to always be unique, and that's the beauty of it. It's really – should always be the beauty of a live show, is the uniqueness of the set you're seeing, and I think he always supplies that.
And, you know, now you mention it, like, I didn't see him running up and down the stage all that much. I mean, he just put all that energy into slaying everybody's faces. Oh my God. Yeah. He definitely won the day for me. Who's your runner up?
So my runner up, now this is where it gets close, because it really is down to two for me, but Green Onions puts it over the top. I have to say Booker T. It was just, that moment is so burned into my brain now that I will never forget it. It brought me to another place.
Yeah.
And because of that, that put him over the top. Not to mention all the other great songs he was playing that I had no clue he even had a part in.
Right. Yeah. And like, yeah, Midnight Hour and,
yeah.
There were a couple of other ones that were fucking great.
It was so awesome to watch it. And it's hard because I'm stuck choosing between two living legends. But just watching him, and you know what? I will say this. I do think there was something extra added by having his son up there, because you could tell, like, there was a bit of a passing of the torch, because his son could play the motherfucking guitar.
Oh,
and it was crazy, because that going to Gary Clark Jr., it's hard to shine when you know this guitar, modern day guitar legend, is going on after you. But man, he could have been up there with Gary Clark. He was amazing.
Absolutely.
And so I felt like Booker T was constantly referencing him and constantly letting him shine, where I really feel like, you know, that, and did I say Gary Clark? I meant Booker T, was really letting him shine.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like that history that Booker T has with Stax Review is in good hands in the future too.
For sure. He had some good singers too.
Oh, he really did. And I love that, like, kept changing him up based on the song that was coming through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little hip hop, a little gospel, soul. Like, it was fantastic.
Absolutely. My runner-up is Mr. Lee Fields for all the reasons I explained earlier. So I'm going to turn it back around to you. The favorite moment of the day, your runner-up. I mean, my favorite moment of the day was Green Onions.
Favorite moment of the day was Green Onions.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Your runner-up and favorite moment of the day. That's it's amazing.
There's nothing to say. And if people don't know the song, just listen to the song because you know it.
Yeah. Listen to the first three notes.
Played live.
Yeah. You'll listen to the first three notes and go, oh, I've heard this my whole life. And just imagine hearing that live from the guy who wrote it. It's amazing.
It's 17 fucking years old.
17. I won't even think about the things I was doing at 17. It wasn't writing a fucking great song. I'll tell you that.
No.
All right.
I'm 38. I still haven't done that shit.
Hey, don't sell yourself short, front page. All right. Friday night ended with us having some drinks at the Vault, the Tiger Hotel, which some great accommodations, great bar.
Yes.
And Saturday kicked off. Now, things are starting to get a little hazy as far as how Saturday started. What time did we get there? We got there around the Hoot and Hollers, which is like 12:30. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we headed out from our place at 12. So we got there right about when the Hoot and Hollers started.
Now, the first band that I caught was Untamed Youth.
Yeah, that... Yep.
Were you there for that, or did you go to the other side?
I was there for that, was able to get my pictures and everything in, and was there, I want to say, for about three-fourths of the set. Okay. So I was there for a good amount of it.
Nice. Yeah, and they were great. Put on a great show. Pretty much what I expected. And also the local angle was really cool.
Definitely. That really did. And I mean, Deke Dickerson live, like all the respect that guy got throughout the weekend there every day. It was really cool to see that. It's really cool to see, you know, garage rock surf legends kind of up there doing their thing.
Absolutely. I kind of hung back with Chad C, who made it up from Kansas City. And we're just shooting the shit and checking out Untamed Youth and Deke Dickerson, who I didn't even know was in the band. I didn't know anything about Untamed Youth until our friend Eric King was like, that's Deke's band, dude. You need to check him out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did. It was awesome. Now, what did you do after that?
So I headed over to the other stage. And at the other stage, it was interesting because this is the first time I've seen this happen. It was actually a split set. So it was Marshall Crenshaw and the Bottle Rockets played on the other stage. They started off, Bottle Rockets started the set, played half of it, and then Marshall Crenshaw joined them on stage for the second half. From what I had heard through a little, in the know information, I guess they're on tour together right now. And so instead of Bottle Rockets just coming to play on their own, they invited Marshall to come up and do a couple songs with them too.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Really great. Yeah, it was awesome. I love them both. The only negative, which is something I find happens too consistently with things and something I always complain about, is Bottle Rockets came out and just hitting on all cylinders, going out there, nailing it. And then when Crenshaw came on, things slowed down and pulled back a bit.
Oh, okay.
And I always have a problem with starting fast and ending slow.
Sure.
I just feel like you lose people with the slow. It's the same thing with movies, albums, whatever it is. There's always a disconnect for me. I always feel like you should start slow and end fast. Yep. And so that, I think – and I wasn't the only one. I heard a few other people kind of mention that too, that they wish that slowdown wasn't there. That said, Bottle Rockets – were absolutely incredible, and it worked out for me because I had to leave early, so I didn't get to see all of Crenshaw on stage. So I got to see all of Bottle Rockets at least, which are a band I absolutely love, and they freaking killed it. So it was nice to finally get to see them live.
Did you see them in Chicago at all, or no? Or
no,
I've
never. Like, it's one of those things where whenever they've been here, there's always been something else going on. I've never been able to get out, which I really need to, because after seeing this, it's something, that's high on my list of seeing a full set with them. We were being told by one of the people working the fest that they'll go and what was it after Thanksgiving or something around there, Christmas show, something like that, where they put on like a 3-hour set every year.
Wow.
And I can only imagine what that would be like. I mean, just mind numbing. It's awesome.
Now, one of the artists I was definitely looking forward to on this Saturday, which was just, it was stacked, was Miss Nikki Lane. I'm saying Licky Nane.
Licky Nane. Nice.
I feel that's already a name in some other industry. Miss Nikki Lane, who I was just turned on to last year because one of the bartenders I work with is a huge Nikki Lane fan and plays a lot of her stuff, or one song in particular, at when we do open mic nights. And that's You Can't Talk to Me Like That, which is a great song off of Highway Queen. And she took the stage, and I expected her to just tear it up, and she did. One thing I didn't expect was the banter in between, which was absolutely amazing. Funny.
It really was.
Funny, funny woman who just lays it all out there about her ex-husband, about just wanting to get high and write music. I mean, it's just fantastic. And the fact that she's like joking around, is there any property in Columbia? You know, I like St. Louis. Thinking about moving from Nashville to St. Louis got me really, really excited, since St. Louis is so much closer than Nashville.
Agreed. And, you know, can't really blame her, because all my buddies in Nashville say those prices are going through the roof. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and St. Louis, which I'm finding out more and more, really does have a really tight music scene going on. Mm-hmm. And really kind of like one of the places to watch. They have a lot of bands that are up and coming or have been around. Bottle Rockets are from there. Another guy who we'll talk about later, Pokey Lafarge, is from there. Mm-hmm. They seem to be getting a lot of things that are getting noticed now. So who knows? Maybe she'll be a little bit closer.
That'd be great. That'd be awesome. I wound up buying 4 Nikki Lane t-shirts. I'm like, God damn, what's wrong with me? I mean, I just like the designs of her t-shirts, and I couldn't decide. And I was like, all right, give me the 2 different ones. And then 2
yeah,
for
her. You're going to look great in those ladies' shirts, too.
Well, you know what? I feel like I'm growing into my body, so it's going to look really nice. I'm very confident that this is going to turn out to be a good thing. I'm seeing Shovels and Rope tonight, so I'm going to bring the girl Nikki Lane t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. You know, they're cut a little higher on the arm so they can show off your biceps.
They do look pretty good. You're right. So that was Nikki Lane. She was at 4:00. Thoroughly enjoyed her set. So did the crowd. And she's up there just drinking tequila with the band and just killing it. Just absolutely killing it. Now, for myself, I mentioned this to you the other day. There's like an hour and a half to hour and 45 minute time period that is unaccounted for. It was me and Chad C just hanging out. You know, I see him maybe once a year. We talk online, we text each other, but like hanging out in person is a different thing. So I think we're just going back and forth, enjoying the sights, getting some beers, having some food. And then we actually made our way to the top of the Great Southern Bank stage, the riser, the hill, and just enjoyed Mr. Pokey Lafarge at 6:45, and just watching everybody throw down. The audience just absolutely loved Pokey.
It just sounds funny.
They loved Pokey.
Yeah.
Pokey's so great.
Let me fill in everybody else on a little bit of what was going on that hour and a half you don't remember. So while they were chilling out and just maxing and relaxing, I was still hopping back and forth between stages. So after seeing Nikki Lane, ran back over and caught a bit of the Steel Driver set.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody not familiar with the Steel Drivers, they've actually gained a lot of notoriety again as of late, because that was the band that Chris Stapleton was in before he blew up.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a large portion of their songs. It's very traditional, old school bluegrass, and it's just it's beautiful, chill music. And it's kind of the music where you do kind of want to sit in the grass, relax, just kind of bob your head along, enjoy a nice day outside. Which, one quick thing to mention, the weekend was beautiful. We had perfect weather.
Yeah, we lucked all out weekend. For sure.
And that's kind of how they are. There was a bit of an old timey theme with a couple of the acts that day, and they were one of them where it just, you know, a lot of songs about the Civil War and in the past and just some traditional tunes. It was really cool and chill. And one of those ones where, I think would play better if I was just at a place where I could enjoy it and they could play an extra long set. And the outdoors works perfect, but where people aren't running back and forth and where everyone can just sit and chill.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. The other one, which was kind of my surprise for the day that I went to after them, our buddy Scott, who we had mentioned earlier, was telling me about Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the name. I've never seen him. And this is where I can get ragged on for my music history. But he played with Johnny Cash. He's played with legends. He's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And went over to catch him, and every bit the consummate professional, just awesome to see. Was completely not aware of how much fun I was going to have at his set. He's kind of like we were talking about with Lee Fields. You know, we take some of the older acts in music for granted. They've been around forever. No big deal, you know. Oh, we'll see them at some point, or if I do or don't catch them, you know, they're old now. You go and you see this and you just see what being a pro is like. And this guy killed it. And everybody in the band, I mean, the way they were knocking out harmonies was just insane. There was somebody who had requested a song, and I'm not going to remember the name right now. They requested a song backstage. And he's like, we haven't played it probably 10 years.
Wow.
They went out there. It had three-part harmonies throughout, I'd say, 70% of the song.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
They nailed it. It was mind-blowing that did not play a song in that long and then just go out there and have all your timing to a T. So that was educational. That was one of those things where it was just like, okay, that – yeah, I need to do more research. I need to look into my history of all the acts I love.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can't recommend that enough to people to look into that. It was really cool. And I mean, guy's still putting out albums. He just put out a new album last year. So of original tunes. And it was a very, very cool experience. And then he ended up leading into Pokey Lafarge.
It's the best thing about art, man. In any medium, there's just a wealth of it out there. And you can't see it all, can't take it all in, but it's all there for you. In your own time, buddy.
Yep.
All right. So yeah, Pokey.
Pokey. So as you were kind of saying, Pokey, for anyone not familiar, he's a young guy, but he does definite old-timey music. Everything about him, he's another guy I found it really interesting. Camera, I think I was talking to you about this, where what I thought was really impressive was he reminded me of a silent film actor, the way he moved his body on the stage. There was something very unique about how he was kind of bending over and over exaggerating his motions and his movements that was really kind of neat and something different that I don't see people doing. Everything from how far back he stood from the microphone but bent at the waist to sing into it. There was one part where he almost turned himself kind of into a V, where he rocked back on his heels but he leaned his head forward as he was still playing guitar to finish off a song. It was very animated, caricature-esque up there, which I thought played really well with the old-timey music.
Yeah, sure.
And even the presentation of his outfit. He looked like some like pictures you would see out of the Great Depression. The old jeans, and if people haven't seen them, like, you know, jeans used to be really baggy. They were big, and he kind of had those. You know, they've kind of became tainted with the rave culture with fat pants that just went to the extremes.
Yeah.
But these were larger, wider pants that were worn for comfort and for functionality. And he had that on with the suit and his hat. Like, it was just – there was a lot of class, a lot of old-timiness. You know, he told stories about being a Husker in Asheville, North Carolina, and just making money on the street singing. There's a huge respect for the past with him. And I think he's another one where – I really feel like it played better live than it does on his albums.
Yeah. And having that full band there too.
Oh yeah.
You know, supporting them was fantastic. If people don't know what we're talking about, just think soundtrack for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Like that kind of
exactly.
Dust Bowl era kind of stuff. Yeah, that was fantastic. And okay, so that was at 6:45. Now, did you catch the Mavericks at 7:30?
I didn't, because I needed to take one band off to eat because I hadn't eaten since the morning and I was dying. So that's when I went, grabbed some food, just kind of hung out for a bit and tried to eat quickly, knowing that with the next two acts for the night, I wasn't going to have any more time. And I just couldn't wait till 11 to eat. So I had to take Mavericks off. From everything I heard, they were great. I know – you know, some people we were talking to, it was one of their favorite sets of the day. So it's a shame. But that's a problem with these fests, is they're so stacked. You almost have to give up on somebody. And it's a shame.
Yep. Now, the next one after that, 8:30, Great Southern Bank Stage, Band of Horses. Super excited about that. Leading up to it. And they fucking delivered. I was just bummed that I missed their the last couple of songs of their set because we headed over to see Leon Bridges at 9:30. But you know, right out of the gate, again, Band of Horses, they came to kick ass, and they did.
And they have the two new members, the new guitarist, the new bass player, and what was great, and I could put this across the whole day, and it was the one big thing I walked away from on Saturday was. Everybody that took the stage that day, and honestly, it could go across 90% of the acts the entire weekend. They just looked like they were having so much fun.
So much fun, man.
And it really did just – it. I think it makes the quality of music that much better when they're enjoying themselves. And Band of Horses, I mean, they were smiling so much. There was an energy. It was just bouncing around. It was great.
Yeah,
I was really caught off guard. I've always appreciated them, but never gotten much into their music. And this changed my mind. I couldn't have asked for a better spot for them. That was just awesome.
I've seen them a couple of times in Chicago. For people listening that know the area and know venues, I've seen them at the Riv and. I want to say Aragon, and when they played the Riv, they started off with a, if you know the song Evening Kitchen from Infinite Arms, they started off with that in the balcony, doing it a cappella, and it was, the harmonies were flawless, like bone chilling. And, seeing them in an outdoor venue, I mean, they just brought it. I mean, you could tell that. They were having so much fun. And now the time I saw them at Aragon, Ben didn't seem like to be in the best of moods, which I hear is could be a thing with him, but he was in such a great mood. And that permeated throughout the whole band and permeated throughout the audience too. I was talking to Scott and there was like almost like some kind of like driving sound. That was going on in between their set. Each song, they had something playing that gave it like a really nice cohesiveness. to the entire performance.
The drummer had a drum machine back by him.
Is that what it was?
Was playing something. Yeah. So it is something that there was never quiet. There was always that noise, and it would change up, and there'd be different things going. But yeah, he had something playing so that the soundscape was always filled with something. And it really did help bring everything together. It also helped make it when he switched and was playing the drum machine as opposed to the actual drums. It made it not as jarring, I think, mm-hmm. as it would have been if he just would have skipped to that anyway, because there was that little bit of an electronic hum going throughout everything.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And coming from a guy who doesn't like electronic stuff,
right.
You know, for me to say it worked, that says a lot about it.
Now, like I said, we kind of dipped out of there because we wanted to catch Leon, but Jesus, they just had so much energy, and I was bummed because when I decided to bounce, they started playing my one of my favorite songs, Older, and I was like, God damn it! I was so disappointed in myself, and I'm like, all right, I'll just enjoy it by this lonely tree over here. Then we headed to the Missouri Lottery stage, the Mo Lottery stage, to check out from Fort Worth, Texas, Mr. Liam Bridges. And talk, it's going to be a running thing throughout this whole podcast and, a running thing throughout the entire festival. A guy who just puts on a great performance, knows how to engage the crowd, and just puts on such a great show.
It's kind of the heir apparent. I was saying this over the weekend, the heir apparent to like a James Brown,
mm-hmm.
where he, you know, I'd mentioned before taking photos. I did look at some of the ones I got. The hardest person I've ever tried to photograph.
Really?
Because he does not stop. And I don't think I have a single picture that doesn't have some blur going on, whether it's on, you know, a hand or a like his legs, like it just, he did not stay still.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, even when he's holding a mic in the mic stand, everything's still moving.
Yep.
There was a lady next to me and she just leaned over at one point and she's like, it's like he's made of jelly. It was just, it was awesome. And yeah, I mean, a pure performer. And for a guy who has one album out,
mm-hmm.
to be able to fill an hour and a half set and it not feel tired or old at any point, just to maintain that high level of energy,
mm-hmm.
it was fantastic. And his band was just killing it.
Oh, my God. His band was amazing.
And
his singer. And, oh, my God.
She was incredible.
My third wife. I had to count him again. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. I don't think there was a guy in that audience that wasn't infatuated with her.
Yeah,
she
right.
She was incredible. And a lot easier to photograph than Leon because he just would keep moving all over the place. So I was at least – like I was guaranteed. I'm like, I need to at least get some type of still shots that will work if none of these turn out for Leon. So that was a perfect excuse.
That's awesome. The one disappointing thing was the encore. He comes out with a guitar. It's him. It's his backup singer. They start playing the river, and people are just shouting at him. It's like, oh my God, do you understand what this song is? And that's my favorite song off that album. It gives me goosebumps.
It's so beautiful and it's quiet. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's this big hit.
Yeah.
It's his first song back after the encore. You shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is one of the bad things about Fest, but it can really happen anywhere. We've run into it at other shows we've been at where people are just disrespectful and talking. Mm-hmm. This was specifically one group that was talking about fucking Snapchat throughout the entirety of the river. And It was really aggravating, and quite a few people told him to, you know, stop and be quiet. And they weren't.
Oh, God.
And it did take me a bit out of the mood. It was still gorgeous and extremely cool to see. And I definitely want to see it again. I want to see it where, you know, that room is quiet and he can just, you can hear every bit of emotion that's being dropped into that tune.
It's like Leon has a guitar and he's singing the song. It's Shut Up. This is amazing right now. You guys don't know what you're doing. All right. So that Leon was our headliner, co-headliner for Saturday. Now, Front Page, who won the day for you?
This is really tough. This is really tough. There are three acts that really blew me away that day, and one of them's going to lose out. But I have to say who won that day for me, mainly because I wasn't expecting anything from them, was Band of Horses.
Nice.
I went into it thinking like, okay, cool. You know what? This is a window. I'll hit it up. Like I said, like I've listened to stuff. I've liked some of the stuff, but they weren't high up on my, okay, yeah, I can't wait for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, expecting less from them, you know, they were really able to make a powerful impact on me. And I was completely caught off guard. I had no idea that is what I was going to get out of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were up there for me. They were like the top three artists I wanted to see throughout this whole festival. It had been a few years since I seen them. So I was really looking forward to see if they evolved performance wise, how they evolved, and was definitely surprised by them. But for me, the winner of the day, I had so many friends who have seen him in concert, loved him. I didn't know what to expect. I expected he would put on, you know, a pretty good show, but he blew me away. And that's Leon Bridges, hands down. I couldn't keep still.
Can't argue with it.
I just couldn't keep still. That's what I chalked it up to. I'm like, how am I moving this much? This guy's just killing it. Just absolutely killing it. The songs that he played off his record were phenomenal. I like the little changes in it. The dynamics of it live hit me pretty hard, and it was just a phenomenal performance top to bottom. My runner up. My runner-up is hard. It's really between Nikki Lane and Band of Horses. But like I said, I've seen Band of Horses quite a few times. And having just been turned on to Nikki Lane over the last 6 months to a year, I gotta give it to her just because she put on a phenomenal show. I'm a huge fan of her songwriting and even more of a fan of her live performance now.
So, again, we aren't going to end up in too many arguments, I don't think.
God damn it.
Which might make it a little bit more boring. There's going to be no calling each other asshole or anything. Because your top three are the same top three as mine. And Nikki Lane, really, I knew some of her songs, and especially found that on the way down, but really hadn't gotten too familiar with her until that 6 hour drive down where you were playing a bunch of tracks off her albums. Mm-hmm. And she was great, and I can't take a thing away from it, and I want to see her again. That was fantastic. But my number two is your number one. Leon. Leon yeah. Bridges was awesome and cool and charismatic, and holy shit, his version of Genuine's Pony was
God, I completely forgot about
fucking
that.
Ridiculous. And actually, I could Band of Horses played a Replacements cover, which helps put them up, you know, for me as well. Like some of these covers that bands were dropping were just killing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon, it really was like I'm not a dancer because I'm not. And I could not stop moving throughout that whole set. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, and that probably didn't help with the picture taking. You know, I feel like you aren't supposed to show emotion when in the pits while you're doing things because you're a journalist and you're supposed to remain unbiased.
And objective. Yeah.
Fuck that. I will never be able to do that. I still clap in between songs. Like, it's, you know, I don't care. It's somebody's art. Fuck yeah, you're rocking out. And man, Leon Bridges, like, that was so cool. And I want those Oshkosh B'gosh train conductor coveralls he had.
Oh, the jumpsuits? Yeah, that was fucking great.
Yeah. That was, I mean, just, dude was killer up there. Yeah. And so, yeah, he definitely was my number two. It's cool. I mean, as we're talking about this, like, the big acts were hitting on all cylinders throughout this, and they were doing everything to prove why they were the top acts for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the Leon Bridges Genuine Pony cover your favorite moment of the day?
What is my favorite moment of the day? Oh, you go first, man.
Okay, I'll go first because I got mine.
All right.
If you want to think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
Mine is – it's not a singular moment. It's more of a – it's more of like a passage of time. It's going from – and I mentioned this a couple of times while we were there. The energy that Band of Horses had on stage, leaving them and going to see Leon Bridges who equaled that energy, it's like there was no dip at all. It maintained that same level for me, maintained that same level of excitement and energy. And just as a pure music fan, like that moment, that passage in time from going Band of Horses, walking over there to Leon Bridges, getting my spot. That's what music's all about for me. And seeing live shows, especially at festivals, which I don't go to a lot of, but when you're seeing multiple artists in a day and they're stacked on top of each other, you go from one joint to another joint. I mean, that's what it's all about for me. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing for me. So that's my favorite moment.
You know, and I think mine's going to run pretty similar to that. It was something I mentioned, and I think it's what you're getting at here too. My favorite moment of the day is not a moment per se. It's something specifically that was a theme for the day, and that was the amount of fun the artists were having.
Oh yeah.
And is it cheating? Because it's not a moment, maybe, whatever, fuck off. That was so strong throughout the day. You couldn't help but have a smile. And so maybe that's my moment, mm-hmm. is the smile on my face throughout the day, as it really was so enjoyable. And just, it was, like you said, it's everything that makes live music special. And, for a weekend, that would end outside the show leading into Monday to be, especially Monday, a pretty depressing day.
Mm-hmm.
To have that Saturday where it was smiles all fucking day long, and every band felt it, every person in the audience felt it, and I felt like I had it. And that smile on my face was the best part of all of Saturday.
And it was also on everybody's face.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it last year. We mentioned it again this year while we were there. But the chillest festival, the happiest people, the nicest people, it's really kind of almost an anomaly.
It is. And it's funny because I swear I see more cops at this festival than I do at Riot Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need to be there as a police officer. I just see them walking around with barbecue and everything the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like I don't think they're there as cops. They're just there to enjoy it too, because there's no reason. Like, it's not a festival where you're walking around fighting with people or pushing people around. No, it's just everybody's there to have a good fucking time, and they do. And, I mean, I guess maybe the cops are there because of weed, because there is that there, but
Sunday front page.
I mean, even that, I never saw anybody getting busted for anything, or
no,
you know,
demand us to
smell
be
it,
you know?
But It didn't seem like anyone was concerned with that. Thanks for that. It was just everybody there to have a good time.
Now, I had a really bad morning and afternoon on Sunday. I ate probably a little bit too much, and what I ate wasn't agreeing with me. So I spent most of the morning in the hotel while you went out and had you were a person acting like a human being. And I was greeted to you by throwing newspapers down, Columbia Tribune down, and saying, "Made the front page, bitch," which was pretty fucking awesome to start the day with, huh?
Yeah, I it was really weird. Like, I knew I was being interviewed, and at first it was just gonna be in their online arts and entertainment section, and then got notified by the journalist who had contacted me that, oh, he had an opening in the Sunday edition and it would show up in there. And so I'm just like, oh, okay. And part of me still didn't believe it. I'm just like, yeah, okay. You know, I got the digital version. Okay. Yeah, it'll be in there. Sure. So went to a newspaper box, which seriously, I don't know when I've ever gone to a newspaper box to
ever
buy a newspaper. Yeah.
Well, the one time you do it, it should be because you're on the front page and you have a full page spread.
Well, and there was a weird thing. I didn't even know where to get a newspaper. I checked at the hotel. They don't carry it. I went to Walgreens. They don't carry it. A bookstore. They don't carry it. And then finally found a newspaper box. And yeah, I was trying to get it and I didn't have coins at first. And I was with Scott. And all of a sudden, at the same time, he noticed my name. I noticed the wannabe comic strip all of a sudden in the top like header bar. And we're just like, oh shit. Well, I guess I'm in it.
Yeah,
so
that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. The comic ended up appearing three times total throughout the newspaper.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. So that was a heck of a nice thing to wake up to, because where you were having a rough morning, I had a rough night. It was a late night of excessive drinking.
Yes.
So yeah, that, but that morning, luckily I was feeling better, and that only helped it.
Great. So we finally make our way to the venue just in time to see Amanda Shires at the Great Southern Bank stage. And how far into her set was she, do you think?
She started a little late because she was having some issues. She didn't have any rosin and she broke a string. So they had to do a last minute emergency call to get some items. So I know she started a little late. I want to say we probably only missed maybe two, three songs.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple songs. Couldn't be that much because she did play a pretty decent set as far as like the time wise. So yeah, I just figured that we didn't miss much.
And she really, I mean, it's so funny to hear her switch between her singing voice and her normal just talking voice. It's not that they sound different. It's just the demeanor is so different. There's so much power and I can't think of the other word I'm looking for behind her singing voice. Mm-hmm. And then when she talks, it's just this really down to earth, sweet,
like almost timid
girl next door,
almost timid voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different, but so fitting. It was really cool. I'd never gotten to see her. For anybody who doesn't know, she's married to Jason Isbell. Mm-hmm. And she also plays fiddle with the 400 Unit, who's his backing band. Mm-hmm. And then goes ahead and does her own albums too, which are fantastic. She's a really, really solid songwriter.
Yeah, really great.
Just an amazing person to watch.
Mm-hmm. After that, we stuck around there for legend Miss Emmylou Harris, caught her set, and was pretty blown away by how well she plays in a band with it sounds horrible, but I mean she put on a great performance, but her backing band was phenomenal. They were phenomenal musicians. They had a fiddle player and keyboardist, drummer, bassist, and they just all killed it, man.
And so is she announced when she came out, she's 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All the photographers were made aware before going in that she was not feeling well. And she asked that nobody shoot any video. They didn't even show her on the large screen because mm-hmm. she was apparently very self-conscious. She didn't want anyone recording her sound or you were allowed to take still pictures, but you weren't allowed to do video of her. And I got to say, if this is her sick at 70,
right,
holy
shit. Yeah, totally.
I mean, she sounded fantastic. You couldn't tell on stage, at least I didn't think that she was under the weather at all.
No, I didn't think so either.
Yeah, and like, it was funny. I was just going through the pictures I had taken, and as I was going through these pictures, I mean, whatever she wants to say, she was photogenic as all hell.
Absolutely.
And looked great.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can only imagine what people are seeing even now at 70 at full strength. And then let alone, you know, back in the day in her prime, what she would have been like.
Absolutely.
Just
yeah.
a powerhouse.
Now, after that, she ended early, didn't she?
Well, Amanda ended a little early, and then Emmy Lou ended a little early. No encore or anything, which I thought was kind of cool, which I don't see at a lot of festivals.
Sure.
A lot of even the earlier bands were doing encores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, so she did end a little bit early.
Yeah, that was at 4:30. Emmy Lou was at 4:30, and then on the other stage was Margot Price at 5:45. But the thing that we ran into an issue with, again, with this timing thing, is that Margot Price is in one stage and John Prine 15 minutes later at the other stage. So we actually headed over to Margot Price and just kind of chilled there for a bit. And then our buddy Scott was getting really antsy. He's like, I got to get over there for John Prine. He's like, let's go. I was like, fuck it, let's go. So we didn't catch any of Margot's set. How was she?
So she came out about 5 minutes late, which really kind of screwed some things up. It was 15 minutes between the start of her set and then John Prine's. I was able to catch one song and photograph it.
Mm-hmm.
She was fantastic. The one song, hey, it's a shame. This was of the whole weekend where there were some overlaps. This mm-hmm. was the only one that was 100% pretty much a true conflict.
Yeah.
I really wanted to see her. I've never seen her perform live before. And she's up against John Prine, so sorry, Margot. I think she'd understand too. That it was much of a contest, but that one song was amazing, mm-hmm. and I will definitely be catching her next time she comes to Chicago.
Nice.
And not only that, as I was talking about Emmy Lou being photogenic, Margot might be the most photogenic person I've ever taken a picture of. For one song of the typical three. The amount of amazingly just beautiful pictures I was able to capture, it was shocking to me. I wasn't really sure what I'd be able to walk away with from that set, and I have a ton. So
nice.
I think that – I mean, I don't know what it is. She just has this charisma up on stage that just – it's magnificent. So
I mean,
she's
not
that
only gorgeous,
really cool.
But she,
I'm glad I got that time.
She's not only gorgeous, but she has that stage presence too. Like she knows how to work the crowd and kind of like move around on stage and whatnot.
100%. It Sweet. Was, in another person, kind of like we were talking about with Saturday, where she had this smile on. She was loving it. Like it was just every element was just, you know. I don't even know. It's there's one picture I took of her that basically sums up everything, and it's stupid. And of course, a picture doesn't help a podcast at all. All I can say is, she is, it's an enlightening show, and I think everybody should see her live. It was fantastic.
She's played Chicago before?
For one song, huh?
She's played Chicago before?
Oh yeah. And the problem is, and this is what always kills me. I'm a complete snob and I don't like big shows mm-hmm. and big venues. And she blew up so quickly. I never got to see her at a smaller venue. She was already playing like Rivs and Aragons.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Everything. And so that kind of takes me out of a show. And mm-hmm. having the opportunity to see her like this was so cool, because you could be up close. It felt intimate still. And it was I just don't know. Even at a bigger venue, I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. But I will definitely be pushing my way to the front, because I think you need that magnetism off the stage,
yeah,
to really capture everything that she's putting out there to the crowd.
Now that makes sense. I mean, even if she played like Central Illinois or even like, well, Milwaukee might be, or maybe like Iowa or something like that, that could work out. You might be able to get her at a smaller venue in those places.
I'd definitely travel to see her. She is worth it.
Awesome.
And that's one song. Like that's what still blows me away. I can say that. Well,
just from one song.
I can kind of say that off of one song. Technically, there's some other surprises left in store.
Awesome. Well, headliner, one of the two headliners, living legend, and an all around amazing artist and individual. Mr. John Prine takes a stage, the Great Southern Bank stage, at 6:00. Now, did you catch his opening song, or did you get there in time to catch the opening?
I did.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was actually walking into the VIP section to get in the photo area when he was walking on the stage. So awesome. I got there just in time.
Excellent. And you had a good spot?
Yeah. Yeah, and like that was another one where, you know, most of the entire event was pretty good, no photo restrictions except for that 3-song rule. But while walking in there, they just kind of said, "We just, you know, want to make sure you get in, you get your pictures, and get out." Mm-hmm. So I tried not to spend too much time, but I think I might have stayed like 2.5 songs or so, because that's an opportunity I'm never going to get again. And I wanted to take advantage of every second of it.
And see, that was my thinking on it too, because like I said, I was not feeling good on Sunday. And I really, as I mentioned earlier, I really wanted to post up on that hill and just kind of enjoy the show from there, you know, take a breather and enjoy the show and watch other people enjoying the show, because I knew tons of people were there for him. I was like, nope, get your ass up there. Like, how many times you get to be that close to a legend like John Prine, you know?
Yeah, it was so cool. And I'd only seen him one other time, and the majority of venues he plays end up being seated venues. And I don't know. There's something about music for me. I don't want to sit and listen to it. I actually mm-hmm. want to be standing there. There's Definitely. Something. I don't know, the sitting aspect takes things away, and I got to see him at Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So, I mean, beautiful sound, mm-hmm. amazing venue, but still it was sitting. And something about this, with being so close, with standing, with being able to move, mm-hmm. it added to the emotion of the set for me.
And added to the intimacy too. Like, yeah. It really did feel like a giant living room, because he was,
and I think
you could almost hear a pin drop while he was playing, which doesn't make sense because he's playing, but they had that kind of respect for him and reverence for him.
Exactly. And I think you're right with the standing, because you're that much closer to people, mm-hmm. you almost feel like a living, breathing organism all together. Yes. When you're that quiet, that respectful, it's everybody is together in mm-hmm. that moment. It was just blew me away.
And, you know, we were talking about him on the way down to Columbia. I mean, I know some of the more popular songs that everybody knows from Prine, but I don't really go too deep in his catalog, just because I for whatever reason, I knew my dad listened mm-hmm. to him, and that's how I got exposed to him. But, you know, it was more of just like he would put it on for like background music instead of like other stuff that he was really into. He'd sit down and just like really take it in. So definitely familiar with some of his stuff until, like you mentioned when we were talking about it. Yeah. Once he starts playing, you're going to know all these songs. And I would say I knew like 80% of them for sure.
He is the epitome of the classic singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, you know, for them, it's Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan is their singer-songwriter, sure. And I totally get that. But for me, it's John Prine. And I was very late to him. I had a very close friend who has passed away. He's actually my dad's age, but he was a coworker of mine, mm-hmm. that introduced me to John Prine. And it is one of the most thankful experiences of my life was him doing that for me and introducing me to just this powerhouse of a songwriter.
And I mean, just thinking about it, like getting all fucking emotional right now. But yeah, just thinking about his whole set and how much fun he has on the set. You can tell he's having fun, and yep. how his humor cuts the tension and like how he could play with your emotions in that way. You know, like he takes you through like a really emotional song, like Sam Stone, and then. His banter between songs just kind of really cuts the tension.
It does.
It's really great.
How he's able to go from such deep, heavy emotion to just a little side remark mm-hmm. that's thrown in that doesn't take anything away from that emotion, but allows you to let out that laugh and kind of cleanse yourself
yeah.
of it. Mm-hmm. It's so amazing, and I've always loved that about him, the way he's able to kind of work that humor in. And, I mean, Sam Stone, like you brought up, mm-hmm. is one of the most powerful, you know, anti-Vietnam, anti-war songs I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And, you know, very fitting. You know, he played both that and Your Flag Decal Won't Get You Into Heaven Anymore.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, he was doing during the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. and it's crazy how relevant those things are still today and yeah. what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, he introed Sam Stone by saying, "This is for veterans everywhere in all wars."
Yeah.
Which was, all right, let's move on before I start crying here.
Well, here, let's talk about some of the other, there were three very cool moments of his set too, just real quick.
Yeah.
Where he had some guests come on a stage with him. For people who don't know, he's put out two albums of duets mm-hmm. With him and different female singers singing some songs together. And people were wondering if we'd see some guest appearances, and mm-hmm. we did. One of those, and I think this speaks to the power of the man himself, one of those was Emmylou Harris, who wasn't feeling good and cut her set short. And she still came on stage to sing Angel of Montgomery with him.
Yes. That was great.
And
you can tell.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Now that
– And a lot of people – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say now that you mentioned or when you mentioned that she hadn't been feeling well, it's just way more respect to her then for doing that.
Yeah. And like for people who don't know, that song where John Prine to me made a very popular version. A lot of other people know it because Bonnie Raitt did an extremely sure. popular version mm-hmm. of that song as well. And then aside from that, Margot Price actually came up both during his set and mm-hmm. for the encore
that
to
was
sing
cool.
a song with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's huge. Like, that's a very young, modern Nashville singer-songwriter that is actually, you know, up there with a legend. And for me, that, you know... They were able to do a song that definitely got me feeling some of those emotions. It was mm-hmm. amazing.
Oh, that was amazing. You're right. Now, how long did he play, do you think? Like an hour? Just about an hour? Maybe a little bit more?
I want to say he played about an hour and 15.
Okay.
Maybe hour and 20, because when we left him, I mean, we pretty much had to hightail it over to the headliner.
Right, yeah.
And he went on pretty much right when we got there. So, mm-hmm.
And that headliner being Ryan Adams goes on at 7:30. One of the more unique stage setups that I've seen in a while. especially when
apparently my fiance just like died upstairs or something.
Well, tell her we got a few minutes left. Well, she's dead. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You have all the time in the world now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. No responsibilities.
Yeah, I mean, we're used to seeing shows in like bars and clubs and smaller venues, but to see like a pretty big national touring, worldwide touring act like Ryan Adams, you know, he's got the whole stage set up. He's got all these TVs strategically placed everywhere. And one of the things that we had heard was that he was not allowing any photography during any flash photography during his set.
He has Meniere's disease, mm-hmm. and apparently the flash photography or the bright lights being reflected off of a lens, yeah. or even sometimes with cameras, there's the blinking red light, even if it doesn't have the flash. Mm-hmm. It can trigger ocular seizures for him, and even become full-on seizures.
And there was somebody in our VIP section, not by us, who was taking pictures. So after one photos with a flash. So after one song, I think it was like maybe the second song, he just kind of lost it. He started pretty nice and then he kind of lost it. The house lights went up and he's like, don't, like, I can see you. Like, don't act like you don't have a camera. And, you know, when we first got that news that there's going to be no photography, you know, you start to think back to all the Ryan Adams like rumors and stories and all the fights he's had with people. And you know, hearing him explain, he's like, I can have a fucking seizure and just fall on the floor right now. He's like, put that thing away. It's like, this guy, I mean, he's right.
Yeah,
he's right. I mean, if what he's saying is true, and there's obviously no reason to doubt that what he's saying isn't true, put your fucking camera away, dude.
Yeah. And it was weird because like during that little rant of his, he's like, you know, what's so wrong? Why do we have to be connected? You know, haven't you ever heard of Skynet? Like,
yeah.
And there was some other comment about G.I. Joe, which I don't even know how that fit in, but he made some G.I. Joe comment as well.
I think if it's the guy that I'm thinking about, the guy had on like a tan vest on.
Oh,
and like camo shorts or a camo shirt underneath and like a camo hat. So
that's awesome.
That's what I'm thinking. But again, like, love Ryan Adams. You know, I don't go too deep into his catalog. Love Whiskey Town, and I was a little worried. I'm like, am I gonna like any? Oh shit! I know all these songs. I'm like, what the hell's the matter with me?
Yeah.
And one thing that really came across to me seeing him live, because I've never seen him live before, is how great his voice is. And like it was
astounding.
It obviously great voice on record, but I don't know if it's the way they mix his voice, a combination of that and his natural voice, but it was amazing, dude. I was blown away by it.
Yeah. What I really liked was, you know, his stuff can be kind of mellow on album,
mm-hmm.
but live, it was, I mean, it was a rock show. It was a 100% rock show.
Absolutely.
And they killed it on stage. And, you know, like you had mentioned with, you know, the set and the way it kind of was with all the TVs. Mm-hmm. And there was something, you know, cool, I guess, for us older folks with it being all old school box TVs.
Yeah.
That all had like different colors to them. One had the Channel 3 thing up on it. Right. The stage was filled with fog. I've never seen that much fog on any stage in my life. Like even Cypress Hill have not had that much fog on their stage. I mean, it was coated. And so like you very rarely got a good look at him. It was always more him in silhouette, and it just added to kind of the mystique of the performance.
Mm-hmm.
It in a way I was glad because, you know, that was one of those things like, pictures aren't going to do that justice, sure. And it forced me to stay in that moment the whole time through.
Yeah. You know, when he started his set, I saw a bunch of phones go up. But as the set went on, and maybe just because people, oh, I got my picture, that's it. I just felt like people were just, they were gradually getting more engaged and just being in the moment of his set.
Yeah. Agreed.
Who won your Sunday? Front page, I want to hear from you.
No contest, John Prine.
Mine as well.
Yeah, he slayed it. It was, you know, that was going into the fest who I was looking most forward to seeing. Mm-hmm. And every aspect of it delivered. And it's one of those things, you know, some of our musical heroes, they're getting older and older. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't blame them if they were to come out and not be able to perform the way they used to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially in a setting like this where it's outdoor, there's less things that you can control, you know, shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, everything was perfect. Every single aspect of that set was perfect.
No argument there. I don't think there's going to be an argument for a runner-up either.
No. Go ahead.
This is a total shot in the dark. But I'm going to go with Ryan Adams. This is my runner-up.
Man, you know, it was a tough call, but not really. Yeah, Ryan Adams, definitely.
Okay, now we may have different moments that we loved this day. Now, what was your favorite moment of the day?
All right, so I'm going to cheat a little and give two.
Okay.
One is a very personal moment for me, and one is a musical moment.
Okay.
So the personal moment for me was honestly getting to photograph John Prine's set.
Mm-hmm.
Being that close to him, after I got done doing that, when I stepped out and just was standing in the crowd, like I really had to take a moment to gather myself.
Yeah.
It was a once in a lifetime opportunity that I don't consider myself a photographer. I just kind of got thrown into this shooting pictures thing. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing,
mm-hmm.
but to be that close to a hero of mine was emotionally overwhelming. So that was that personal moment. The musical moment for me was actually John Prine and Margot Price singing In Spite of Ourselves together.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite songs. I've seen him perform it with Iris DeMent, who actually sang that song and recorded that song.
Yeah,
with.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. And so I've seen him sing it with her, and that was good. But I gotta say, Margot nailed this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, I had tears falling down my face. It was beautiful. And it's weird because some people might not understand, like, how would you get so much of a emotional resonance out of that song? Because there's so much humor throughout every lyric.
Absolutely. It's just so brilliant and clever and fun and funny.
Exactly. And it was a song he originally wrote for a movie, of all things, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so beautiful, and her voice was astounding through it. It like, you could read their connection on stage.
Yeah.
It was that to me, and I'll put it right out, that was my moment of the weekend. Like, yeah, that whole weekend could be summed up in that one song for me. It was fantastic.
I got two, and one of them I'll share with you, which is the Margot Price, John Prine, In Spite of Ourselves. Particularly laughing with tears in your eyes, just because it's so fucking great. Her voice, she has that classic country cadence, kind of in the same tradition as like Emmy Lou and whatnot. You can tell she's got a great musical upbringing, which is cool. But the favorite moment comes after the song, where she leans over and hugs him and gives him a kiss on the cheek, and she's walking away, and he's flustered. I mean, she's a hot chick, man. She's a very attractive girl. And he's like flustered. His guitar strap comes off, and he is fully flushed. I mean, cheeks like bright red, and everyone the applause dies down. It's kind of quiet, and he's like, you know, he's putting the strap back on, and he's smiling, and like there's these little beats of laughter in the audience, and because everyone's just like waiting to see how he's going to respond to it, right? And everyone's laughing, and then it dies down. He gets his guitar strap all suited up and whatnot. It's all set. Gets up to the mic, adjusts the mic, and goes, "I'm a lucky guy." And that's all he says. And that was like the coolest fucking response, because it, like, "I'm a lucky guy," it just said it all. And it was just like, it's such a charming moment.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like seeing that set, that, you know, and, you know, how we were talking about how he mixes this really emotionally heavy themes and subjects with humor is, it's, I don't know. I don't think there's any more of a charmed life than that, you know? If you're able, agreed, to, if you're able to do that, like, on a dime, like, you live and just have a very charmed life. I don't know.
And at his age, to still be able to just turn it that quick.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because there were a few times he did it. That was the highlight funny moment. But there were a few other times where he just threw in little quips and you're just like, mm-hmm, man, he's still sharp.
Yeah. When he walked up to the microphone, this was like early in a set. I don't even know. It might have been the second song or maybe his opening song. And he's adjusting the mic and he's moving it down. He's like, "I guess I grew a couple inches over the last couple of days."
Yeah.
just such a simple joke and just so fucking charming, man. And my second moment is Sam Stone.
Yeah.
There was a moment after it ended, and like there was, I firmly believe there wasn't a dry eye in the whole fucking venue after hearing that.
I can't imagine there was. It was, I mean, it's so heavy hitting and relevant.
And like, God. Scott turns to me and I don't know, I was like wrapped up in the moment. I didn't really hear what he said. He must have said like, "That was fucking awesome, wasn't it?" And he's got tears in his eyes and I got tears in my eyes and I wipe them out. And I just happen to look over and I see Joe, or contact Joe, who made all this possible. And she's smiling. And this is right after I sent you and her a text saying, "I just had a spiritual moment."
Yep.
I look over at her and she does the two finger eyes thing to me and Scott and just starts laughing. Like, oh, what are you going to do? It was all of us.
Yeah.
All of us were living in that moment and all had the same reaction. Just fucking beautiful, man.
Like you said, it was church.
It was church.
Yep.
It was church. Oh my God. And to go, and now what do we consider roots and blues now? Is that Bible camp? I mean, it's 4 days. I mean, didn't you drink your ass off for 4 days at Bible camp?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, to me, there was so much more spirit, camaraderie, togetherness, unity at that than you can find at most churches. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a lot of churches when you're in it and you need to get touched by God again, you go on a retreat. That's my retreat. That was, you know, that's the moment when everything comes together. Music, people, food, laughter, mm-hmm, tears, and it's all together. And you're like, okay, you know, whether it's a God, Mother Nature, you know, a greater entity, whatever, there, you have that higher power type moment. And you know what? That higher power might just be music.
That's
and
what it is.
It was beautiful.
That's the connective thread for all of us. Oh my God. Again, what an amazing 2017 Roots and Blues Festival. Again, oh,
truly,
we would be remiss not to mention the one thing that we missed last year, which is something that we had on our second day, and that is a pulled pork sandwich on a glazed donut bun. It was everything I hoped for and more.
It was so damn delicious.
So fucking good.
I think last year we talked about the biscuit that we ate for breakfast.
Yeah.
And so the food always has come up because barbecue's in the freaking name.
Yeah,
so
it's right got there. It. Yeah.
And yeah, that was a work of art.
Yeah, it really was. Now I got.
And then Chad fell in a hole.
And then Chad fell in a hole on Saturday night in front of 30 frat boys and college girls, and they all were just like bored with it. They didn't even pay attention. You know, just looking at their phones like, oh, another asshole fell in the hole in front of our house. Oh my God. Well, this all couldn't be possible without the lovely Joe. Thank you so much for hooking us up.
Truly, I don't know how we got so lucky to, you know, if it wasn't for Joe, we wouldn't have even known this fest existed. And it's, you know, our second year and it's only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
And I can honestly say it's my favorite music festival I've ever been to. It's so well run.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's laid out is fantastic. The sound is always so good.
Always good, man. No matter where you are. Even like, remember I talked about the, Hilltop for the people, you know, you can still get a really great sound from there. You can still hear everything perfectly clear. It's amazing. Anywhere you go in that area, you can hear it perfectly.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. I love it. It's, you know, I'm looking forward to the retreat again next year.
And special shout out to, our boy Scott. From magazine and like 15 other things that he rattled off for making this trip even more insane and drunker and crazier and more enjoyable, as well as to Dee and Rob. They were fantastic as well. Great people.
Yes.
Great people.
Yeah. We met. It was kind of cool going down that extra day this year. We got to meet so many more people that were down there and hang out with them. And that really was special. That added something to this as well.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, sir. Well, it was great to do this with you again this year and wrap it all up and let's put it away. Well, I'll put it away for now. And you'll still be editing 3,700 pictures for the next 2 months.
Yeah, so I went through just on first pass and pulled out like 350 that I like. And those are just like really quick going through, not doing heavy dig. I'm like boom, 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 boom. So yeah, there's a lot, but you know, it's kind of cool, and they'll always be those memories to kind of be in there too that I captured.
For sure, for sure. And you can check out Chris's stuff. Where can we find your coverage at?
So you can check it out. It'll actually be coming out on Thursday this week. I don't know when this is going to be. So that'll be the 4th, 5th, October 5th. It'll be online at wannabethecomic.com.
And you can also go to Wannabe the Comic, right? On Facebook. Is that right?
Correct. Wannabe the Comic on Facebook. There's also an at Wannabe the Comic on Twitter as well.
Cool. Sounds good, brother. I will talk to you in a year, I think, right?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
It's the only
time
we talk. I'll see you, buddy.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man. Bye. She used to buy me comic books after Grandpa died. Grandpa was a carpenter, built houses, stores, and banks. Chain smoke, chemical cigarettes, hammered nails, and planks. He was level all over the level, shaped even every door. Lincoln, won the war.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget,
I can't get enough of Super
Bob Odenkirk.